Hello, welcome to another awesome episode of the One Great Work Warriors. I'm here with Brandon, Derek, Jim, Jerry, and Crip Rick, delivering truth, freedom, and teachings of natural law. And we've been coming up with various topics for over 2 years now, and meeting every week to hash it out and to come up with topics that are pertinent to our lives and hopefully the lives of the listeners. And I'm introducing today because I've been going through various forms of hardship and growth. And my mind says, you know what, these two things are very intertwined. And part of the path to becoming a better person, to working towards the end of all evil, to teaching natural law, is doing our own interpersonal work, shadow work, if you might call it, battling our own ego, learning how to be a better person in this world, learning how to examine all the ways that we are tricked and all the ways that people are stealing from one another around this planet. And there's so much confusion with that. If it was obvious, everybody'd get it, and we would not be living in the type of environment we are, where there's so much evil inundating society. And so there's a lot to unroll. And so that's why it helps to come up with various topics and each of us share from our own point of view. So I'm just going to share briefly that for me, the past few years, especially ever since the scam of 2020, I've gone through major life changes, breakup of a long-term relationship, moving like 6 or 7 times, packing up all my stuff, trying to learn how to reinvent my career. It's just been a lot, and it's been one thing after another. And so one thing I've come to recognize is that anytime we want to grow, we're going to have to face a level of hardship. Another way to look at that is some type of sacrifice. And I think once we recognize this and accept it, then we can maybe see some of the hardship we go through as not always a bad thing, even though it might feel uncomfortable, even though we might not look forward to certain aspects of the challenges and the obstacles that we have to face. If we understand that it is the process of being a better person, of learning how to teach others, to set a good example, it teaches us empathy when we go through terrible things or rough things or difficult things. And then that helps us better communicate with others. And so I thought each of us can share some of our personal experience with the relationship between hardship and growth. And I got a good story for you just from the past few weeks, which I'll save for when the mic comes back to me. But I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to my man, Jerry, and let Jerry talk a little bit about hardship and growth.
Thanks, Chris. I can't wait to hear your story. I know you've grown a lot this past month. And talking about stories, I might as well just dive into my story, because I remember when I was perhaps a young adult, maybe in my early 20s, I remember going through this phase where I was in a very hard place personally, and I wanted it to end, the hardship. And I remember my friend's mom told me that tough times don't last, but tough people do. And I was at a point where I had no ounce of toughness in me. And then I joined the military. And I remember being very depressed. And I even thought about suicide, not saying that I was going to do it, but I had the thoughts. And then I came across this man named David Goggins talking about hardness. And that is kind of what lifted me up, seeking hardness. And so I went for a run that day. And ever since, I embrace hardship. And I think when I came across Mark Pastor's work, I was ready. It didn't matter how hard the information was. I wanted to seek the knowledge no matter the cost. And after I heard Mark speak, it really touched me in a way that I knew this was the real deal. And now I'm here And I'm going to speak about where I'm at right now in terms of hardship and growth, because as you guys know, I've been in debt, financial debt for a while, where I used to say, man, I'm tired of this, like just very black pilled in a sense. Why do I have to work for money? Yeah, and all this stuff. But now I look at it as an opportunity to grow. And I'm actually grateful that I'm in this position because I get to grow more skills because of it. I'm learning entrepreneurship skills. So I'm talking to people. I'm working on my sales skills, communication skills, adversity skills, all these things. So I'm looking at it now from a realistic perspective, you could say, and not a negative perspective, which it doesn't really get me any results. So, yeah. I'll probably just leave it there for now, and I can pass it to Derek.
Cheers, and word up to Richard Grove with what you got going on with the entrepreneurship at good old Autonomy. So, yeah, we've spoken about a couple things in previous episodes. You know, perseverance comes to mind. I know we did one or two others that kind of correlate to, you know, this topic. And I remember in one of them, we spoke about how, you know, weak men create hard times, you know, on the macrocosmic level, you know. And how can we flip the script, right? We're going to be looking for solutions on how we can overcome these hardships and, you know, dealing with adversity and all this stuff. And yeah, to the good old expression in the metaphor used, applied to your life, going through whatever hardships and this and that, that, you know, the pressure within the coal mines or whatever, you know, that creates and forms that diamond, right? So are you able to go through the alchemical process, put yourself through the Athanor, burn all the falsities, get through the distillery, and coagulate your higher self, anchored here in 3D type of thing, and you're going to be more in the flow of being the cause point to the effects around you. And you can steer clear of future hardships. Because what do we have all day, every day? A bunch of people walking around, sleepwalking, causing themselves and others a lot of self-inflicted suffering, unfortunately. And all these hard times, right? But no, people are bragging about, oh, well, like, I work hard, play hard. Yeah, I bet you sleep hard. Do you eat hard too? You know, do you heal hard? Are you going hardcore into the shadow work, in the inner work, and looking at yourself hard in the mirror? You know, like hard to the core. What else is in store? So if you haven't noticed, and I've noticed this within myself as well, we tend to sometimes make it harder for ourselves than it actually need be, right? So how can we, you know, sometimes we have these impulsive reactions and this and that. We don't take the time to breathe, assess, and look at the situation that you're placed in with the objective perspective, because the truth isn't always what we want it to be. And it's going to be more detrimental if we kind of ignore it, faint away from it, and all these things. You know, we have to look to the causal factors of why the times that are hard and not easy per se, or more just in the free flow of universal law and how we navigate this reality by being aligned to it, right? So yeah, I like the expression as well of you know, nose to the grindstone. You know, like any tool in the forgery, right? Blacksmiths will tell you, word up to Justice Wagman, that, you know, axe to the grindstone, you know, that there needs to be that hard friction on the metal for it to be refined and sharpened, you know? So think about your skill set, your mind, your will force. What are you sharpening all your attributes with, you know? So, yeah, and again, honesty is the best policy. Take those moments in the mirror and be brutally honest with yourself. Because once you get over these humps of dealing with these hardships, it's going to be better. And you're going to be more hands-on in regards to, you know, nipping little shits in the butt. And then, you know, there's going to be those hard times are going to be few and far between, possibly. We never know because, you know, we live in the collective unconscious and consciousness and all these things. And so shit happens that wasn't to our making. But what we can do within ourselves is be the best version of ourselves, right? So it's just making not making things so hard for ourselves, I guess. So, yeah, we have to be educated and know about a lot of things so we don't get duped and, you know, fuck up and make stupid mistakes that would have been avoided if we knew better, right? So things to consider. And I will pass it on to Rick, who knows a lot about this subject.
Me? Thanks. I'm just teasing. I'm trying to laugh because I'm so sore, guys. I really am. But I'm here. And great points. And this is an interesting topic. I like this topic. I hope my words can, in our talking, give it justice and give it its due thing. I think it's a really important topic. Hard times, because all of us at some point are going through them and still going through them. And I like you. I think Jerry said, right, like hard times create hard men. And I like sayings like that. And these become sayings over time because they have a lot of truth to them. And so I've always liked Forged in Fire. I love that. I think about that so often, and I think of these things to get through what I go through. I can really speak for myself in a lot of cases. These little things come to mind when I'm going through tough times. I think about these little sayings that are around for a reason, and I think of Forged in Fire. I think of a diamond, and I think of, how do you get a beautiful diamond, right? It's pressure. And then I think of the saying, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And I truly believe that. I think this is a hard topic, guys. I can't. When life hits you, in whatever way, and that could come in so many different ways, as I just said, you either stand it to it, you stand up against it, and it, you either grow from it and you become stronger, or it kills you. I mean, and you see that, you either, God, I can't think of the words. It makes you stronger. So I'll just use simple words. It'll either make you stronger, or it's going to break you, and it will kill you in a lot of hard times. And you see that a lot of people, some people seem to rise and thrive on pressure and on hard times, and they figure a way around it. They figure a way through it and they suffer through it. And then other people, it breaks them. Other people. And it's just the truth. People fall to addiction. A lot of things can happen for people that kind of crumble. And this is such a hard topic because I'm trying to, because I go through something that's so painful all the time. I'm just trying to think of what gets me through it. Sorry, guys, this is tough. This is a tough one for me. I'm trying to keep myself together, but it is. And I just see people, I think, and I also know that this world that we're living in now is me. I see people that are so soft, and I feel like an asshole for saying that, but it's true. It's just these, I see people breaking at the smallest things, reacting to the smallest things. And I'm just like, wow, like we have really gotten soft as a species. I mean, like I don't know what is going on. I know it's by design, but wow. I just find myself saying that so often these days. I'm just like, Jesus, people are not tough like they used to be. And I think back to when I hear, and we've all heard stories from our parents and our grandparents and stuff like that. and they went through, and history, and the people went through some really hard times, and made them tough. Like they had this tough exterior, like this tough, you know, and they had a lot of wisdom from all these tough times. A lot of knowledge comes from these tough times. And I just don't see people getting that now. I see people reacting. I see people being soft. I see people getting triggered. And it's just this lack of, it's like kind of like Derek was saying, are you doing that work on yourself, man? And it's that lack of inner work that's happening. So I'm going to leave with that because I got some other things I want to say and I'm going to keep babbling. So I apologize, guys. I will pass it to you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Rick. You know, I think this is definitely a topic that everyone can relate to, right? Because you're not getting through this life without going through hard times, right? With my kids growing up, they would always be like saying, that's not fair, that's not fair. And I would, one of the messages I would always tell them is, life's not fair. Like, I don't know why, you gotta really learn that. Like, get it through your head that life's not fair. Stop thinking that. It's because, you know, we're always talking about truth and beliefs and getting to those beliefs that cause harm to others, you know, and the consequences of that. But, you know, I have beliefs, and this is something that I'm known for. That Earth is a school. I believe in reincarnation. And I believe that our souls come here to learn. And we knew it wasn't going to be easy. Like Earth is like the toughest, one of the toughest, right, places to come to, for your soul, like for your soul's journey. And if you don't learn from it, you're just doomed to repeat, these cycles. But so that's why I have Earth School Farm and all that. But making these videos is tough, right? Since the beginning, we've been doing this for 2 years. I was way more nervous in the beginning. This is the third year, right? And me and Rick were even messaging earlier, like, we both think that we sound like idiots. And, like, we don't like to listen to ourselves back, or we do, like, have some concerns about what people think of us. And not just these videos, but the stuff that I put out on social media, YouTube and Instagram and that. I'm like, yeah. The stuff I'm saying is people, I know they don't want to hear it. They hate to hear it. It's not easy to do it, and you know we're all doing that. And you know, I'd say we're getting better. I have to give ourselves credit for continuing to do it, to persevering, because we care, right? And it's not easy to care. So what else could I say? Just another thing that I've been through, just like Chris was saying, the same kind of hardships with getting divorced and a lot of work and financial troubles and all that. And Jerry mentioned before, I still have suicidal thoughts. Like, I just think it'll be easier to not be alive. Like, I would never, I don't think I have the balls to do it. But, and I'm not, I haven't been that bad in a long time where I used to be back when I used to drink every day for 23 years. So, but see that I've learned a lot from where I was living in victimhood. And I learned to flip that, like, say, like, instead of saying, like, why is this happening to me? It's just, whatever's happening is just happening. It's not happening to me. If I'm going through a hard time, it's just what's happening, and I don't have to like take it like the world is against me. And I can get through that, but I feel like I'm growing and learning the older I get. I like being older way better than being younger, man. You know, so there's been a lot of growth there. And the last thing I'll say is I know that I can do more now than I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I would say, I can't do that. And now I stop saying that. Like, I stop saying that I can't do that. It's like, I'm just not, like, I'm just having trouble getting that done, or I just need to work harder, or I need to learn more. I can do it. Like, I could do anything. It's just a matter of my state of mind, you know? So, and then I don't know, this is probably the last thing I say is failure. I failed a lot in the last few years, and throughout it all, I fucking made my dream come true. And I didn't even, I'm like sitting back here, I don't even realize. Like I built this, created this food forest. It's almost like getting close to a half acre. And I'm like, I remember driving around, like looking for land. I was like, how the hell am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And now here I am, like whatever, 8, 9 years later. And I did it. And everything that happened in between, in the middle of that, and I'm like, holy shit, I did that. And I don't even know how, but I just fought through it. And so it's interesting how your dreams can come true, and you may not even realize it at the end. So it's Brandon's up.
Thank you. Rick had mentioned how people nowadays are soft. And, you know, one of the things I've recognized, especially with kids, is the lack of going outside, you know, and the lack of, you know, of exploring, you know, like riding bikes and going out and interacting, you know, with nature and other kids. Because when I was younger, I would always ride my bike, you know, like we stay out all day. You know, you'd be riding your bike all across the neighborhood, you know, visiting. And what this will help you do is there was a lot of struggles if you had a bike. You know, you would fall down, you know, scrape your knee, chain would come off, you know, you'd be sweaty. But these were things like as a child, you just, you know, you just dealt with. But if you've never, you know, went outside and like, you know, got into a tussle or like got into, you know, an altercation with, you know, another child, or, you know, like you never got, you know, dirt on your knee or, you know, scraped your elbow, then sadly, you're probably going to be one of those kids, you know, like who, you know, like who grew up without that kind of, you know, boundary, you know, learning process. So when it comes to hardship and growth, I think one of the best lessons, you know, as kids and as children, you know, is going out and interacting, you know, like with nature and interacting, you know, with these tools so you can learn, of course, what boundaries are. And then too, you know, learn how you can use these tools for you to grow yourself, you know, because how riding that bike, you know, that always kept you in shape. You know, you never really got tired. You always had all that energy. But when we are talking about these forms of hardship, again, like let's bring it more clear. So what does it mean, you know, if something is a hardship? You're talking about something that's difficult to endure, something that is like harsh, you know, severe or rigorous. And then we're also talking about growth. You're talking about something that gets bigger or something that flourishes. So in this form of hardship and growth, we're not talking, you know, like a form of man's ignorance form of hardship. You know, we're talking about difficulties that can come, you know, in which there's access for potentiality of growth. And the reason why I brought up that story is because, you know, Maine has always been telling stories. You know, nowadays we just tell stories in a more modernized version, you know, behind the screen and a projector. But we always had the myths and the legends and the stories to, you know, to teach us about the hero's journey, or, you know, the journey of the son, or, you know, the main character goes out on this adventure, this quest, you know, because there's this challenge that is awaiting him or her. There is this adversity, usually within their own self, that they have to face. You know, there are these challenges, or, you know, like you have like the 12 tribes of Hercules, or the 12 tribulations of Hercules, and how he has to overcome that. Then you also have the stories of like Prometheus, you know, stealing the fire from the gods. And there's this like overly hardship. There's this overly extremely hard task that has to be done. And yet they still find the ways to do it, to conquer, to, you know, to make it to the finish line. And in these myths, you know, there was a lot of knowledge that can be gained. Because in the story of the hero's journey, you know, it was all about this form of transformation. And that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about this form of hardship and growth, is the internal transformation that comes along. And Derek had brought up the alchemical process. And this is what was being explained in a lot of those myths and a lot of those legends, you know, where the main character would go out on this quest, either seeking knowledge or seeking something that they are trying to attain. And at the start of this quest, at the start of this journey, the individual may have been ignorant. The individual may be in a state of duality. The individual may even be in a state of lies. Because by way of doing this transformation, by way of going out on this journey, they can rediscover true moral principles and reawaken who they truly are. Then therefore, having them return almost like a new individual. And that's the growth that comes along. And this is what those myths were always trying to encourage and inspire. So when we are talking about like all of these stories, the main point that we are trying to get across is the inner work that has to be done. As far as, you know, the alchemical process and learning how to deal with one's trauma, learning how to deal with one's ego, learning how to deal with those uncomfortabilities that you may not like, those things that you may not want to face, that adversity, that evil that lies within your own self. Because it does lie within all of us. But in facing that and not running away from that, which is what they did in the hero's journey, is you have to face it. You have to conquer it. You can't run away from that. You have to shine light on it and bring it to that conscious awareness. So then therefore you can have that rebirth. You can go back home and, you know, live with your family, or, you know, whatever in those myths. And that's what we are talking about, because to do that, that required resilience. And I think this was one of the words that Rick was trying to use, because resilience just means to rebound, to recoil, to spring back, or to bounce back. So, you know, something traumatic or something bad or something negative can happen to you, but how are you going to let that affect you? Are you going to bounce back, you know, with courage, with care, with humility, you know, with humility, with true potential, you know, standing on true principles, you know, with more philosophy? Or are you just going to let it, you know, pull you down, you know, and say, well, what was me? What can I do? I'm a victim. I have no power. And that's what we are trying to get here, is in order to deal with these hardships, in order to grow from these hardships, is that does require power. So the individual has that potentiality. The individual has that potential. It's just about knowing that they have it, and then also willing it into manifestation. And just like Atlas bearing that weight of holding up the heavens, man, sometimes that's how I feel like doing this great work is because it really does feel like we have this heavy, heavy, heavy burden on our shoulders. And that burden gets heavy as fuck. And it's like nobody wants to help assist. No one wants to help lift that burden. And man, it really does feel like that. So, you know, and again, the myths and the legends and the stories were always there to teach us some deeper psychological, you know, philosophical or ethical or moral teachings.
Another good word is grit that I like. You know, sometimes you got to find that grit, which is like grit your teeth, grin it, you know, grin and bear it, you know. I had a father who was an amazing man, but one of his shortcomings is he would have anger explosions. And I remember one specifically, it was embarrassing, especially when we were in a public place. We went in the grocery store and it said on the window, 3 avocados for 99 cents, believe it or not, back in the day, 3 avocados for 99 cents, which was a good deal at the time. We get to the register and the person rings them up and they're like a dollar something each. And he's like, hey, wait a second. Sign on the window said 3 for 99 cents. And the guy's like basically giving him attitude. And it was a young guy. And my dad starts getting frustrated. His face turns red. He's raising his voice. And as a kid, I'm like shrinking down. I'm looking around. I can notice that all the other people are looking at my dad and I'm super embarrassed. He's pretty much yelling till the manager comes. They had to have a couple employees come take the sign down and they gave him the 3 for 99 cents. And he's right, you know, these days I'd have been right there yelling with him, you know, like, but when I was a kid, it was embarrassing. So he had a lot of anger tantrums. And I think often he could have handled that, those situations without getting so irate. But what happened to me, because of my trauma is of being embarrassed and being in these situations, is I became sort of a people pleaser in my life. I often found ways to appease people and be really overly kind or nice, which, you know, isn't always such a good word when you look in the etymology of it, right, Derek? And, you know, after being beaten over and over throughout my life of saying, why am I getting treated with less respect when I'm always so kind to people? And I find myself getting in situations where I'm holding in anger. And well, this really came to a head for me about 2 weeks ago. I went through this physical malady where I was really in bad shape. I could barely get up. I was super uncomfortable. And a good friend of the show, Colin, actually hit me up, Colin Davis, and he was talking to me about the Jungian psychology of what I'm going through. And another, I can't remember, a couple people helped, might be Sarah Cross was another one, looked it up in some books. And what I was going through is indicative of anger, repressed anger. And so I wound up, because I'm basically in bed, I can barely do anything, going through this psychological journey of trying to understand my anger. And I had to go back in the history of my life and look at all the things I've been angry about over the past few years that I haven't properly expressed and where I didn't stand up for myself the way I should, allow myself to be a doormat. And so this just goes to show, just because you have good intentions does not mean you're doing the right thing for yourself or others. It's important to set boundaries. It's important to let people know when they're pushing you too far or when you're pushing yourself too far and you need to ask for help. And I actually got myself into a situation where I really did have to ask for help. And I went on fake book and I said, hey, people, like, I'm in bad shape right now. I'm in a financial crunch. A bunch of things added up. And I just asked for help. If anyone can donate or buy one of my books, I'd really appreciate it. And people did. And it got me through the week. I managed to heal up without going into the hospital. And I worked through I've been dealing with my anger big time. It was weird. I got phone calls from people that I haven't talked to for a long time. And every possible scenario in my life with anger came up in one form or another during that week. And I've had to express and these repressed feelings. So the self-work can be very uncomfortable. But what is it that we do in life that doesn't bring about some layer of discomfort. Let's say you want to get stronger. How are you going to do that without pushing yourself hard until you sweat, until your muscles hurt, right? That's uncomfortable, right? Let's say you want a really high profile job. How are you going to do that without, you know, staying up late and studying or going and putting a bunch of resumes in? Whatever it is you want to do that is something that you would esteem to doing and look back as being like, that was legendary, requires a level of effort and frustration. And so the challenge is, what are you ready to take on? And I'm going to close my door real quick because these dogs are barking. Knock some stuff over in the process. That was fun. But so here's the other thing I wanted to compare it to. I wrote this book, the book that changed my life. I hope people get this book and it helps to change your life, but I can't promise you that. And one thing I explain in this book is that if you really go through this book and read these words and take them seriously and consider these things, you're going to go through a hard time. It's not going to be fun or easy. You can change your life, but you're not going to do it without struggle and really hard struggle. You're going to have a rough freaking time. I promise you that. But on the other side of that, you end up with meaning, purpose, and joy in your life for being a person with meaning and purpose and passion, which you don't get if you don't have those other things. So life is change. It's just one change after another. And do you want those changes to be all easy, comfortable ones? So you end up being like, well, I feel great. It was an easy, smooth transition from day to day, but nothing stands out and I don't really have any good stories to tell. No one really looks up to me and I don't really have anything to pass to the next generation. That's one, you know, that's a choice you have. Or you take what we're talking about, you take your life seriously, and you recognize that if you want to change your life, you have to accept the change that's going to come with that. And it's going to be levels of sacrifice, levels of discomfort. And we all have trauma from our childhood. There were problems with all of our parents, and our society is majorly fucked up, almost beyond all repair. So whoever you are listening, you've got trauma to deal with. I guarantee it you do. And if you're not ready to deal with that, you need to get ready if you want to level up in this world. So that's the challenge, and I'm going to pass it on. Thanks for listening to me, folks.
I'll pick it up to go another round. So one thing that stood out for me, Chris, was the repressed anger. And I empathize with you because I know what it's like living with someone or people that just have these anger issues, and it's very uncomfortable. But I'm glad you see it for what it is. And yeah, I looked up the nice etymology, the word. And yeah, it's not what I thought it was going to be. So I'm glad I looked that up. And yeah, what else do I want to say? There's a couple of things. So I came across this one story, which has to do with teamwork, basically. So let me go ahead and read it. So there's these life forms that scientists struggle to put it in a category. There's cellular slime molds and they're single cell organisms. When they run into challenging times, like not having enough food, they'll start gathering together and they'll actually combine together to form into one larger organism that's called a slug. And when they do this, they're actually able to move to better locations to get more food. The difficulty allows it to become something better. And so they're seeing they can get new capabilities, like being able to cross over salt barriers by linking up with one that has learned how to do that. And the slime molds have been put into mazes to solve complex problems. So the gist is, I think as individuals, we must keep our eyes on the prize, which is true freedom. And we have to utilize, I want to say, our third eye and just say, look, there's requirements for this. It's going to take hard work. Let's do this. It's possible. So it's definitely worth it. And we have to put skin in the game, man. And the reason why I'm saying this is because usually, right, when, say, you put money down for something, oh, now I'm going to use myself as an example. Oh, now I'm more likely to follow through because I have skin in the game. And the truth is that we all are bound to one another in a sense, meaning if one person is enslaved, we all are to one degree. So we're all afflicted by slavery. So you just have to realize that and pick freedom if you're about that and start doing the great work. I'll pass it to you, Derek.
Cheers, Jerry. And yeah, congrats on being included in the One Great Work Network. And riffing off of what you said, great example, by the way. my sister's a banana slug, EC Santa Cruz. But no, that's great because, you know, some of these hard times and challenges present, you know, the opportunity to be innovative, right? To overcome these obstacles in whatever way. And yeah, the teamwork aspect is great. I love that. And, you know, I played soccer for football, le foot. So the S word kind of trips me out sometimes when I'm in Europe. 20 years. And I learned so much. And like, I put my body through the flipping ringer, you know, played at a pretty high level, hitting the gym like almost every day. You wake up, your body is fucking sore. Sometimes you pull a hamstring or get injuries and you have to overcome these things, you know, that's kind of a hardship, right? So yeah, the medicine is in the healing, having patience with yourself and living holistically, having a proper positive attitude that, hey, this is a temporary situation. I got hurt. I'm going to come back and come back even stronger. You know, you have time to reflect and you could go like, okay, so how did I get hurt anyways? How can I prevent these things? And, you know, all these aspects that, you know, buzz around your mind when, you know, trying to figure out why, you know, that three letter word is so important to figure out, right? But then go to the how, right? So, we have to reconcile our fuck ups so we don't have them on repeat, you know, playing out and just continue to be a thorn in one side throughout their life, right? Things like that. And what y'all talked about with the Rick and Brandon with the victimhood, you know, like the era of soft, easily offended fools and this and that. Yeah, they're so nice, right? Childish and foolish, etymologically speaking. And yeah, it's true that a lot of people don't have enough real life experience. And then they, you know, kind of get flustered in the real world because, you know, they're used to this internet interaction and internet talk where they're not fucking held accountable, right? And it's kind of like, you know, when you grow up around, you know, people in school, you can tell that they're like, they've been sheltered and this and that. And compared to someone that's like gone through some hard times and this and that, but, you know, and you can see the level of maturity in someone of the same age who's gone through the ringer as opposed to someone who's like sheltered and, you know, barely scratching the surface of reality type of shit. You know what I mean? So, we could say and kind of downplay these things like, oh, you know, people are, you know, complaining about, oh, this, things are so hard and this and that, even though they're complaining about motherfucking first world problems like, oh, my battery's dead or whatever the fuck. It's like, do you know what the struggle is actually like, yo? And for all you pretentious, you know, wannabe woke and awakened individuals, it's a life-shattering experience. It's a paradigm-shifting, you know, soul retrieving and human weeping process. And at least for me, it shook me to my core. Once you understand how fucked up things are, coming to those realizations, having to process it and understand, understand, overstand, not let it affect you and get into the doom and gloom, black pilling and all that stuff, right? It's hard to come to grips with that in and of itself. And then it's hard to kind of like pull yourself out of that, extract yourself from all the problems. So you're part of the equation of solutions, right? It ain't easy, right? And it feels like Sisyphus getting, you know, scissor kicked, you know, and what the hell, right? you got some good, better examples, Brandon, but yeah, just that. For eternity, we're pushing this fucking boulder up because, you know, the weight of the world doesn't want to be as light as a feather, so we can all rise together type of thing, you know? And, folks can navigate themselves a little bit better if they would understand their astrological makeup way the hell beyond your sun sign and that kind of stuff. There's a cool meme. I should have brought this out, but, you know, goes like, you know, I don't care about your sun, moon, and your rising sign. I want to know that nitty gritty, your Saturn, your Pluto and Uranus aspects, you know, how's that transiting in your life and all these things, and how are you able to, you know, work with these planetary energies that we all have within ourselves that have different placements, right? That do have certain influences to whatever degree, right? People still think it's some kind of like made up fucking thing, you know, what, and because they're caught up in the daily horoscope, pop psychology and pop spirituality of a lot of things. And people think, you know, shadow work is some kind of walk in the fucking park. Are you absolutely kidding yourself? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Keep going like that. Let's see how that plays out, you know? So yeah, the people need to really understand the law of attraction, because you're stuck in, you know, this pretentious, aspect of how you think your life's going. You might have, you know, that victimhood, which I totally forgot to mention. So if you're stuck in those modes of trains of thought on a daily basis, that's what you're gonna magnetize, all right? So get with the fucking program and try to level up. And align to natural law, truth, freedom, and justice. Finding the equilibrium. No, take to the scales, seventh gate, Libra. So yeah, sometimes we have to fuck around and find out with, you know, how we experiment with the world and ourselves and this and that. People can take a safer route or whatever, and I'm speaking hella vaguely, but for example, this isn't some lipstick or whatever. A dog bit me. I had a pretty gnarly scar that's on my lip just last week. You know, I was playing with the dog a little too much. I'm not much of a dog person, much more with the cats. But, you know, like, this dog's trying to bully these cats in the house, and he's like grabbing people's food and this. And so I was like, hold him back, and they're like, rah! See, I don't know how to restrain dogs. And so, like, hey, I fucked around and found out the hard way, right? But, you know, he held a little grudge against me, but I was able to reconcile with that dog, and he loves me. I'm not there anymore, and he was almost about to cry when I left. Not because, oh, I don't have another guy to bite again, but you ever have a, you know, a hard time or argument with someone, but you're able to make amends and reconcile it, and all of a sudden y'all become like pretty close friends and that kind of stuff. You see that, the recoil, kind of like Brandon was talking about, you know? So
yeah, that brings a whole new thing to bite your lip, right?
Yeah, and I'll keep my lip bitten on, you know, recent events and all that stuff. But I'll pass it off. Thank you.
Good points, though, man. Bite your lip. I love it. And thank you, Brandon, for kind of filling in what I was trying to say. Trying to get across, but you guys bring up great. I enjoy these conversations. They make me think about a lot of different things, and I like all of you guys' different aspects of it. It's really cool because I kind of come from a pain I'm so familiar with it, like a physical pain, that that's kind of where I'm at. But this growth thing that we talk about, and we kind of talked about that, Chris, in the meeting before this one, I was saying, I think I'm starting to learn, and I think I get this from talking to a lot of people. I interview a lot of people, and I kind of brought up to you guys that I think that one of the most important things that people, I think what people don't realize is how much we bond over each other's traumas and hardships. I think that's really interesting. And I think that is what really is important for people. And it sounds kind of weird when you first say it, but I this is from experience of talking with people so much. And I realized the people that I'm really close with and I've had great conversations with, we kind of bond over these traumas that we've been through, these hard times. We start talking about them and stuff like that. And I think that's what really bonds people together, as crazy as it sounds. And then what, for me, the more you speak with people, you start becoming comfortable. And I think that it's really important too, that you have people around you. At least it is for me. I'm so blessed to have a group of friends that are close to me and people that will listen to me. I think that's so hard when you're going through hard, hard times, that you have this, that so many people you can talk to and kind of, and work things out and stuff. I think that's really important. And I don't even know if I would have said that maybe 10 years ago. I kind of dealt with things on my own and kind of, I think a lot of people look at reaching out for help or talking to people as a weakness kind of thing. And I realized it isn't, if you have the right people around you to talk with and that. But I really think it's important to realize that. And then I'm talking about these traumas that I've talked with people and getting to know them, that you really starts to build your care and your love and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm just trying to work it out. You're kind of seeing me work it out in real time here. I keep thinking about that, but there is really something, as I said, from me speaking with people, so many different people, we really kind of bond over these traumas and their hardships. And really, when you start really diving into it, you know what I mean, Chris? Like you kind of were speaking about that you were speaking with somebody. If you remember, it's just interesting. Like I like to get your guys' thoughts on that. Am I totally off base when I think that? But I think there's something there, this bond that we have with these hardships. And I'll just wrap up with saying, I hope people realize they can take probably way more than they realize. I think when you're in any type of hardship or trauma, you kind of think you're at your breaking point. And I just know for me, pain in hard times has definitely over the years very much humbled me. And very quickly, actually. And even what I'm going through in the last few weeks with I'm going through some stuff in the last few months, but in even last week or so, I've been going through physical pain with my leg, trying to heal it, and we're at the point where I can barely walk 5 feet without falling over. And you start, when these things are taken away, it's when you start to really realize how much we take for granted. But then I also have to realize that my hardships, there's still people out there that are dealing with way worse. So that's something I've learned. I think we kind of think that we're, you know, when you think about your, like, it's, oh my God, I'm going through the worst thing ever. And it's not really, there's people dealing with worse. But I really enjoyed this conversation, guys. And I just want to let people know that, you know, but hardships and pain you can grow from. Definitely. I was saying that when I first kind of spoke about it, that it's either going to, you're either going to grow from it. It's going to force you to either grow or break. I don't know any easier to say that. And that simply, but I know it to be true. It's either you're going to crumble under the weight of it, or you're going to figure it out and do the work that we keep talking about, this work on yourself, which is so important. And I know I would rather speak to people that have been through hardships and have been through some traumas, because I think I know from talking to these people, they got some real character. They've got some life lessons. They got, usually have a wisdom about them. I'd much rather speak to somebody like that than somebody who's kind of had an easy go and kind of like not really had really hardships. I think there's something to be said for that. So I don't know. I just end with that. I just wanted to kind of bring that up, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm really curious what people think about this bonding over trauma. I think it's really important and there's something to it. So I'll leave with that. Whatever you think, Chris, or anyone who wants to add to that.
Yo. Yeah. I think when bonding over trauma, it can go a couple different ways. Yeah, you can bond in a good way, and people can heal from sharing their stories with each other. And then there's also people who bond over their victimhood, right?
Good point.
And like validating that those beliefs of, you know, and all that. I think there's probably a lot more of that than the healing part, where people are connecting over the being victims. But I just thought I'd take you to this thing that's been bothering me my whole life, really, but comes up always again from time to time about Christianity, especially since the shooting of Charlie Kirk and all the Christians in an uproar. And I remember as a kid, like, asking my dad, it's like, you know, like, why don't the people be more like Jesus? And he said, like, that's too hard. Like, that's not easy. It's like people are too flawed or whatever. And it's like, so just forget about that, you know, right? Like, I had to forget about that, but I never could. And it pretty much led to me being an atheist for the next 30 years. Well, not really, until my late teens, I started to get into like not believing in God. And then 20 years of drinking until I got out of it. But anyway, what I see is, especially with the Charlie Kirk thing, is just so much more of that. It's a whole bunch of Christians not being like Christ. And that's like the hardest thing to do. It is. Like to be like, well, you got all these billions of believers, but they're not achievers, right? Like doing that hard work, that shadow work, to be like that. Like, think how much more awesome the world would be if those people started to be like Christ instead of just going and listening to their preacher and then giving them some money. Like, that's so easy. And then say, I have my faith. I have my faith, and I believe in my faith. Like, what good is that going to get you? You know, sitting around and waiting for the second coming, what could be easier than that? You know, instead of being the second coming. So I go and I'll make these videos and talk to you about that. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Like, I feel like they think I'm crazy, or I'm going to get in trouble for saying it. I'm saying, like, that's like one of the greatest things you could do. And I have a lot of work to do in that regard too. Like, but just to be like a moral teacher and know the difference truly between right and wrong, objectively. And for that, I feel like a heretic or something, but right? I think we all do. But imagine that. Imagine telling Christians to be like Christ. And it's like, what are you, a dick? Like, it's, that's what I feel like people, like, I don't know. If they have to question themselves critically like that. They have to ask that use that critical thinking to say, like, you know, who am I? Are my thoughts, emotions, and actions anywhere near that? It's a good place to start. And that's not easy. So that's enough. That's always been, that's what goes through my head all day long, most of my life. I think it would help. So, all right, Brandon.
Hell, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Rick had also mentioned pressure earlier. And pressure is the force that will always create change. And it's a matter, you know, what that particular thing is. You put enough pressure on it, it's going to create change. So, you know, when we're talking about hardship and growth, you know, hardship is a form of pressure, but not all hardships will lead to growth, and not all growth requires hardships, because we can always grow from doing things the easy way too. You know, yes, we can grow from, you know, doing things the hard way, but that's not a requirement, you know, so let's not forget that. Yes, hardship can lead to growth, but not all growth requires hardship. And it's like the two ways of learning. You know, you can learn that the stove is going to burn you by listening to someone else and hearing their words of wisdom, or you can be the experiencer and actually touch the stove and actually experience that hardship. And yes, you may grow afterwards, but you could have grown from not experiencing that. And listen to those wise words of wisdom. So I'll leave it at that, because you can see that humanity is going through a lot of hardship and there ain't no motherfucking growth. The only thing that's growing is more ignorance and more unconsciousness and sadly more evil.
And ignorance, that is the etymological basically definition of nice, you know, ignorant, not knowing, stupid, foolish. So don't be nice. You know, study up, see what needs to be done, get it figured out. And I just also wanted to say thanks, guys, for coming tonight. I know several members of our group are going through hardship today, and it was a hard thing just making it through this episode for some of us. Staying awake, dealing with pain, dealing with outside frustrations, but we keep showing up. So we're setting the example, and you guys can do it too. So that's what we're trying to encourage. We'll see you next time. This is One Great Work Warriors signing out. Thanks for coming, folks.